Good to see you. And what was your name again? Adam. Hey, Adam. I'm Tim. Praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody. Enjoy coming here. I hope you enjoy coming here, too. It's special that we could set aside a weekend from our busy schedules and all the cares of this life to give some time to the Lord. So don't worry about anything else. Don't worry about all the things that have to get done by Monday and the things you left behind. The Lord will take care of you because you're taking care of Him. So those who seek Him will find Him. And He's a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him out. So I think all of you are diligent seekers because you drove from Utah. And I think some from New Mexico are coming, maybe?
They're coming.
They're on the way. They're still seeking to find. They'll find. Yeah. So this conference has got a title that's actually a quote in the Bible, Heavenly Vision, the Heavenly Vision. And probably you've heard this term before, and probably a lot of fellowship we're going to be having this weekend may be somewhat familiar with you, but may it come as a heavenly vision. So who can tell me who spoke these words?
Paul.
And what was the environment, Adam?
He was kind of on trial, and he was explaining that he was not disobedient to this heaven.
Exactly. Yeah, he was before a king, and he was giving his testimony, and he wanted to tell the king. Actually, he shared his initial experience of the Lord. And this is about 28 years later when he is telling them, I was not disobedient. So Paul had lived his life. He'd seen something, and that changed this man radically. And then he continued to walk and carry out his life according to that vision. So may the Lord give us a heavenly vision. So, if you'll turn to the table of contents, that should be page 1. Just in brief, there's a lot to this vision, and we just are picking up several key parts of this vision. So we'll be on Christ and the Spirit tonight, and then in the morning, we'll have a vision of the self. And we'll explain why that's part of this vision tomorrow. And also, in the afternoon, there'll be a vision of the world, and that will be your message. So you'll divide up, get into the ministry, and then you will be responsible for sharing that message. So you're going to be giving this conference as well. And then we'll move on in the evening to the vision of tomorrow evening, the church, which is His body, two-part. The church we want to see, and the organic side, which is His body. And then we'll round it out Lord's Day morning with a vision of God's eternal purpose, but mainly focusing on consecration. So this is what happened to our brother Paul. He saw something. He realized himself. He realized the world. And he saw the church, the body. And so he had a response, Adam. And that response, that reaction to what the Lord had shown him was to give himself, to consecrate himself. And so he could tell King Agrippa that he was not disobedient. He had given himself according to what he had seen, and he had affected many others on the way and was quite useful to the Lord. So it's really important to see a vision, a heavenly vision. This term is, I guess all of you know a vision is something that we realize or we see. There's the earthly realm that we see with our physical eyes. So we see a 14,000-foot peak. That's a vision. I saw three of them lining up on the way out here. Okay, we see things. Well, there's the physical realm, and then there's the psychological realm. Then there's the spiritual realm. And seeing in the spiritual realm is the eyes of our heart. So there is a spiritual realm, Many people don't think it exists. Brother Scott was telling us earlier that he was an atheist. He believed there was no God, which means there is no spirit, because God is spirit. So to him, that realm did not exist. I think you majored in physics, didn't you? So the physical world was where it was at. But one day, this young man, he caught a vision, a heavenly vision, and he went from concentrating so much on the physical to this other realm. Well, our brother Saul was very similar. He led his life, he lived his life according to vision, and he had a vision. We're going to get into this. He did have a vision that was controlling his earthly life. So why don't we turn to the first message? We're going to hit this point. This is should be after songs on page 14. So let's read the title together of message one. Everybody's got a handout, right? Hang on your handout. You can put your name on it. They all look alike. We want you to hang on to yours. So what's the title of this one? Okay, so we'd like to just say a little bit about Paul's experience, and then we'll get into some aspects of Christ. So how about we alternate between, well, we got a lot more brothers and sisters here. Wow. Brothers, good job, brothers and sisters are on, they're up and coming. So I'm glad you sisters are here. So how about we divide the room right down the middle here. This side will take verse 1 in chapter 9, and this side will take verse 2, and we'll just alternate, right? And we'll read this account of his conversion. Okay, how about this side on 1? Let's go.
But Saul still breathing, threatening, and murdering against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest.
Okay, so this account is so important that it's actually shared three times. It's shared right here when in Acts, and then later in Acts, after Paul is arrested in 21, he goes between 22 through 26, he's before five different groups of people sharing his testimony. So the first group is a group of righteous Jews, and so he shares his testimony there. And then he's before the Sanhedrin in the next chapter. Then he's before Felix and Festus, and then finally he gets before King Agrippa. So the first defense and the fifth defense, he gives his testimony, and that's what this section is from. The next verse, 26:19, let's all read that. Okay, so he's testifying before King Agrippa after giving his testimony of what he had seen. And actually, it's a brief presentation because what he saw is recorded in his 14 epistles. So he got some of the basics in there for King Agrippa. But if you want to really know what Paul saw, you have to immerse yourself in his epistles to get a really full view. So on his way to Damascus. He was carrying out his life according to a certain vision. And at that point, there was a light beyond the brightness of the sun, and it blinded him. So you could call this a blessed blindness, because it turned him from his earthly pursuit and the earthly religion he was serving to the heavenly vision, to Christ. So he was serving God according to what he had seen. He had seen a vision of the Judaism and the way of the law, and so he was carrying out his life according to that. But this day, he caught something from heaven. All that preceding was of the earth. This time, it was from the heaven. He probably never had any vision that came, this light shone from the heaven. So this was a different source from what he was carrying out. This was a revelation from the heaven, and it was a vision, a seeing. He saw, and he says, "Who are you?" He saw a person. Previous to that, he had not seen this person. He had persecuted this person, but on this day, he saw the living Christ, and that changed him. A vision will catch you. It will capture you. You don't have to try to remember it. It's not doctrine. It's not teaching. It's a seeing. You see the difference? You can teach me some verses and some doctrine, and I'll remember it. But if you see something, then it stays with you. Probably some of you have seen something in your life, a vision. Maybe you're on one of these high peaks. Maybe anybody hiked to 14,000 foot? Did you get up there, Val? And what happened? Did you look around? Is that impression in your mind right now? Can you forget that? Do I have to teach you about the mountains and how they look? And no. You saw it, right? It's there. Okay, this is what happened. And that's what we want to happen this weekend. We hope, yes, we can say we've seen something of Christ, we've seen something of the church, but how deeply, how much have we seen? Well, you can kind of check out your life. If your life is according, what's your life like? Carl? I remember you before, right, Carl? You've been here before. How are things going, Carl? Pretty good. Okay, that must be you've seen something. Good job, Carl. Well, I hope we see some more. Adam, you want to see some more? Amen. Me too. All right, so Paul is here serving the Lord according to his tradition and religion, and now he was serving in the Spirit. See the contrast? One is tradition. The first contrast is a revelation. Versus just what he'd seen through the doctrine he was had been raised. And this is tradition and religion versus his spirit. He was also in a condition of self-righteousness. Paul was a very self-righteous man. And so now, instead of serving under self-righteousness, it was according to faith. Now he took another way, the way of not of works, but now, what a change to being self-righteous, counting on yourself, being confident in yourself, having assurance in yourself, and stacking up points toward God according to your ability, versus now, that's all thrown out. And it's just a matter of faith in His Son. It's all about, Ray, His Son. Amen. So He's serving now according to His Son, and not in His own enthusiasm, but serving the Lord burning in spirit. So, some similarities, but a different. There is a difference here. Okay, then if we want to look at the next verse, why don't we read that? Go ahead. Okay, so no vision, no restraint. That's where we are today in America. There's very little vision of Christ and His purpose with the church. So there's not much restraint in our country. In fact, it's getting looser and less restraint because we've taken God out of the schools. We've taken Him out of the reading the Bible at the home. You know, early Americans, I think I've told you that, they learned to read by reading this book right here. We've gone through that before, right? I've got the little book in my bag. I carry it with me all the time. The New England Primer. And that's how America was educated, but not today. Very few people, even in the Bible Belt, have very little understanding or knowledge of the Bible. So why is things darker? Why are the lights going dimmer? The light's being covered over. So we want to reverse that. We want to be in the Word this weekend. We want the lights to be bright, brightly shining. So without a vision, the people cast off restraint. Okay, then the next verse, let's read it. Okay. This verse is here because we want to see different aspects of Christ. And this verse here summarizes in Revelation four different aspects of Christ. So in considering what to present concerning Christ, and you could say a lot about Christ. One of the brothers in Austin is enumerating all the different items of Christ. What Christ is, he's up to about 250, and he's just now getting through the Gospels. So he may hit 500. So we could pick a lot of different points tonight to talk about Christ. We only have about 20 to 30 minutes to talk about Christ and different aspects. So we felt the best approach, and maybe you've reviewed this before, so it might be somewhat familiar with you, but maybe a little fresh tonight, is to look at Christ from the four Gospels. So that's why this verse is here, because this verse talks about different aspects of Christ from the different writers of the Gospel. And each Gospel writer, you know, there are many Gospels written. I guess you're aware of that, but only four were canonized. The Spirit led the believers to canonize the four that we have, and they became God's revelation to us for centuries and centuries later. So our knowledge of God is based on these Gospels. I hope you're all familiar with the Gospels. And each Gospel is emphasizing a different aspect of Christ. And in Revelation, you can see these creatures that represent the different aspects of Christ in the different Gospels. So I'm going to share a little bit on these, and then I'm going to have you practice. I'm going to give you a key verse for each of these aspects, and then I'm going to get you up here, and I want you to be able to tell me the aspects and give me one of the verses. So you can be equipped to share your Christ with others and even have a verse there to help you. So pay attention. You're going to pay attention? If you fall asleep, then when you get up here, you may not do so well. Adam, you have to have... Oh, he's already gone. What happened to him? Okay, we'll get him back. Okay, so where are we on... let's go ahead and read. So we're going to take a little time to do this. We want to get to the Spirit, so we can't spend a lot of time here. So how about we read the second point, number two. Matthew, okay. And so let's look at the first two verses there. Go ahead. Okay, so underline the phrase in verse 2, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? Where is he who's been born King of the Jews? This is your verse to memorize for the aspect of the King. He's a King. He's the King of the Jews. Where is he? Where is the one that's the King of the Jews? This isn't the first time he's mentioned as King or kings referred to in the Gospel. But when Matthew is presenting his Gospel, he is looking at the Lord. Come up here, Adam. And you are, who are you? Kenning? Okay, so here's the Lord. Wasn't quite this big or bulky, but will do. Okay, so you're looking at him this direction, right? So you want to write your gospel to impress us centuries, millennia later, that this man is the King. Okay, that's your job, Matthew. So you have to craft your gospel so we get the picture. And we're all clear, this man is a king. So by the time we're done with your gospel, we get it. We get the king, we get the kingdom, we know how all this works and how he rules. Right, Matthew? And the symbol in Revelation that symbolizes the king is what? Come on, Matthew. Come on, Matthew. Read that verse again. Go back. Revelation 4:7. Kenning. It's right there on your page. What's the first creature? Yeah, the lion. You know lion. Could you be a lion? Have you ever been at a zoo and you heard the lion roar? It will just send chills up your spine. It's like deafening. They got huge mouths. They're the king of the forest. Right? And when they speak, everybody, like, here they come. Right?
I can't do that.
You can't do that? You got a big chest. You could probably belt it out there. Try it. As loud as you can.
It's like the Lion King.
You know, you heard you got a tiger in your tank. Y'all are too young to know the Exxon, famous Exxon. Well, you got a lion in your spirit.
Roar.
That's pretty weak. Okay, so Matthew is describing this one as the lion. Okay, thanks. So, with the king, let's look at the next verse. 5:3, let's read that. Okay, so obviously with a king, there's a kingdom, and he has a lot to say, Matthew does, about the kingdom, especially the kingdom of the heavens. So, with the king, we have to be familiar with the kingdom. And I think all of you have entered into the kingdom of God, right? Is there anybody here who's not received Christ? Probably everybody's received Christ. So you've entered into another realm, another kingdom, where he is the king, and probably you were baptized. Probably all of you have been baptized. If you haven't been baptized, your baptism is a transfer from one kingdom to another kingdom. When you believe, you get the king in you, but you're still in this world. We'll talk about that tomorrow. And to exit this world, which is Satan's kingdom, and to enter into God's kingdom, he gave us a way called what? Baptism. So if you haven't been baptized, you should ask the Lord, Lord, what about this? And maybe someone can help you while we're here this weekend. Last time or time before, we had a baptism in the pool over there. I remember it very well. I think it was 2 years ago, right? Maybe. So there's water. And if you want to walk in this kingdom, then the way you get transferred is through your baptism. So if you haven't been baptized since you believed, you should ask the Lord about that and seek His Word and seek fellowship. So you can be living in this kingdom practically and daily by being baptized. Okay, with the king, the main thing, just briefly, is concerning his... we cover the verse there about being born into it. I just talked about that. And number, Matthew 18, 28, 18, let's read that. Okay, so I want you to underline the word authority. With the king, like with the lion in the forest, there is authority based on who that lion is and his capability. He rules. Okay, Christ, based on who he is, his capability, he has all authority. If you read Matthew, he's got authority to forgive sins. He has authority, Carl, to forgive your sins. His authority to cast out demons. The demons shudder. His authority to speak and the waves die down. The wind stops. His authority, he has, all authority has been given to him. And this is the statement at the end of Matthew after he's gone through death and resurrection. So this is a resurrected man who in resurrection has all authority has been given to him. Do you believe that? All authority. He has authority over everything and everyone. So as a king, and as one in his kingdom, we like to be the one under his headship, under his leading. And the interesting thing about this, let's look at this verse, last verse, Acts 2:36. Go. Okay, he's made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you've crucified. So he was made Lord in his ascension, in his resurrection and ascension. He was made the Lord and Christ, having all authority. And, of course, he was Lord before that time, but this was kind of an inauguration. This was an official appointment as Lord and Christ. And anybody know what the word Lord literally means? He's been made Lord. Anybody studied that word before? Lord. Literally means in Old English. This is literal meaning in Old English. It means ready? Loaf guard. Loaf, like a bread of loaf. A loaf of bread. Loaf guard. That's what the meaning of the word Lord. You get it? He is Lord. He is a guard. He is a loaf guard. The keeper of the bread. He controls the food. He feeds the dependents. And he rules by feeding us that loaf. He guards it, he keeps it, and he dispenses it. And so his ruling is by feeding us. And we know about the loaf, right? I heard you singing the song, I am the living bread. So who is this loaf? It's himself. So he rules us by feeding us. Ray, you like to eat?
Yes.
Yes. Did you enjoy that meal tonight? Awesome meal. That's what Christ is. So tasty, so satisfying. So he likes to rule over us by giving us a sweet taste. Say amen, right? Yeah, amen. Oh, you taste good. Lord, you taste better than that. Or that. He gives you a better taste. So. See, he's got a corner on the market, Carl. Only he has this taste. You'll never taste this in another person, another activity, another possession. That taste is only in this loaf. Okay, so that's his ruling, that's his kingship. A lot to say, but no time. Let's go on to the next aspect of Christ, number 3. Let's read it, yeah.
Christ is servant.
Servant, okay. Not only is he king, but he's also a servant. And if you want to draw a little diagram here, you could do it this way. Dimensions, you have on the top, you have king. There's no one higher than the king. The king rules. The king has authority. The king is the highest. And then the other continuum is what? Servant or slave. And that's on the low end. So in the realm of human realm, There's no one higher than this person. You're not going to meet anyone. There's no name above this name. It does not exist. He is the highest name. He's been given the highest name. Same person, catch this, the same person is the lowest. How can that be? Look at these presidential candidates. They're all just like, you know, trying to get a little bit higher. None of them would be that low. They can be good at being high, but they're not good at being low, right? That's just a fallen man. But this man, no one's higher. And no one's lower. No one's ever gotten lower. No one can get beneath him. No matter how low you go, you can't go lower. You can't go higher, and you can't go lower. He covers the whole span. So obviously he's everything in between. If he's the height and the depth, then he's got the whole thing covered. So all human experiences can be found in this man. So he's a servant there, and the verse I want you to memorize for this, Mark 10:45 is a famous verse in Mark. Let's read that.
For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many.
So underline, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He didn't come to be served. He came to serve. So what was your verse for the king? Matthew, anybody remember? 2:2. Come on. Anna? Oh, wait a minute. You got me. This is Anna, right? Okay. Where is he? King of the Jews, Matthew 2:2, right? 2:2, and then we're going to Mark 10:45. What's that one say? And the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. Good. Okay, so you could look at it this way. Come up here again, Adam. Stand up here. And this time we'll get old Ray. Come on, Ray. You're standing right there. Look that way. Okay, you ready now? You're going to come look at this man. So you want to write your gospel, and you're looking at the same person, but you're looking at a different aspect of him, right? Here you see the king, and here you see the hardworking back, right? The laboring, and what was the revelation? What was the second creature? A calf. That's the baby ox. So now we're just seeing how this man is a slave, a servant, right? So you want to write, so we get the picture when we read your gospel. And when you read the gospel, I want you to put these glasses on. When you read Matthew, look for the king. When you read Mark, look for the slave, okay? So he didn't come to be served. Right? But to serve. Okay, that's great. So you got your aspect. Okay, y'all can sit down again. Thank you. All right, so you can pass all of your burdens onto him. It doesn't matter how heavy, how much, how often, pitch them. This guy is a burden bearer. Doesn't matter how deep the grief. Scott and I were talking on the way up. He lost his brother a couple years ago. He said, Tim, death is really hard. Something like that. So, wow. That's human grief. A loved one? Like, wow. Okay. He can bear that. He's a burden bearer. Your burdens can be cast on him. Carl, what are some of your burdens? Some of the things that are kind of, you don't have to say them, but they're just kind of got you down, they keep you down. You try to come up for air and another one comes down on you, just like handing you bricks and You're just sinking lower. Then another one comes. Are you still in school? Okay, then something else comes. And then the finances, then the family, then the health. It's like, what is it going to stop? It's not. Like a conveyor belt. So we have to practice just casting them. I like the illustration. And before they had all these cranes, they used to use scaffolding. And they would pass up the bricks. And so the guy on the middle scaffolding, if you don't, when one comes your way, if you don't pass it on, guess what's going to happen to your scaffold? It's going to get heavier. You got to keep passing. So when it comes to you, you just pass it on over, right? You just practice passing it, this burden, this weight, this anxiety. Then one day you might have a wife. Are you married? Then you may have kids. And then your kids may do things that you wouldn't do, or you can't control people. Right? Anxiety. Or you'll be working someday. Anyway, y'all know what I'm talking about. Plenty of things to come, so pitch them. Okay, let's keep moving. He came to serve you. Okay, now we go on to number, where are we? 4? Yeah. So let's read this. Jesus Christ. Okay, and then the verse there we have is the one I want you to catch the last phrase. Let's read it. And Pilate. Underline that. This is Luke, Pilate saying, I find no fault in this man. This man. It's an easy verse to remember because it is in verse 23, 4. So you can just remember number 1. He's number 1, this man. And so you have 2, 3, 4. 23, 4. You got it? I find no fault in this man. 23, 4. And Luke. Because Luke's a gospel about... Come on up again, Adam. Oh, Adam. Wonderful name, Adam. You can really do this one well. So now, who are you?
Michael.
Come on, Michael. You're going to write us the gospel. And Michael, Luke, you'll be Luke for now. Luke, what is your profession? What do you do for a living, Luke?
Doctor.
You're a doctor.
I'm a doctor.
A physician.
Yes.
So what are you concerned about? What are physicians occupied with?
Health.
Human life. The health of the human life. Not a veterinarian, right? Not the animals. It's the human being. Okay, so Luke, you know the physical being, you know the psychological being, you know sufferings, you know all kind of stuff. So, Luke, you need to tell us, when we read your gospel, Luke, we want to be so impressed. You're looking that way. So impressed. What do you see, Luke, when you were around, when this man, what do you want to impress us with in your writing?
His perfectness.
He is a man. He's a genuine man, 100% man. Even you give us a genealogy, not back to Abraham, but all the way back to the first man, Adam.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so your gospel is full of this humanity. You're emphasizing his compassion, his heart, his humanity, his feeling. He feels it.
Amen.
He gets it. He's a man.
Amen.
Just like you and me.
Praise the
Lord. So we need to be convinced. Luke, many people, their favorite gospel, John's probably all-time favorite, but a lot of people I talk to, they like Luke. Because coming out of Luke is this, you see this compassionate man. He's a man. So when you see Jesus Christ, you want to write to us that this is a genuine man, perfect man, real man. Good. Thank you, Luke. All right. So with the man, let's look at another verse here. We have this other verse in here. Let's just read one more. I got to keep moving. Sorry. And Jesus said that one.
And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing."
Okay, we put this verse in here because one of the biggest problems we have in our human life is forgiving. But he was a man full of forgiveness. He knew humanity. He knew our condition, so he was very forgiving. And you have a lot of verses in the Bible about forgiving. This account here, I don't think we have time to read it. It's about the woman who was... Well, let's just read verse 12 and 13. How about that? Go.
And as he came near the gate of the city, behold, one who had died was being carried out, an only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a considerable crowd from the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he was moved with compassion for her, and said to her,
good. So you can underline moved with compassion. Here he was walking and just his heart goes out to people. He realizes the situation. In Hebrews it says he's a man just like us, without sin. Just like us. Yeah, without sin. So he understands and he can be empathetic and very compassionate. Okay, let's keep moving here. Let's see. Well, we had that verse 4:15 is the one I was talking to you about. He's one who's been tempted in all respects like us, yet without sin. Okay. Okay, then next point is, let's read it.
Jesus Christ is God.
Okay, so now, Adam, one more round here. And Carl? John, you have the hardest job of all, I'd say. Because you have to convince us that this man, this person, is God. God. This is God. He created all things. He created you. He made everything. This one walking around, to see him is to see God. How are you going to do that? Not an easy job. So you have to go in the beginning. Back. Let's go back. Let's rewind here. Let's go all the way back. And then he takes us. There's no genealogy, right? Does God have a genealogy? No. No genealogy. Not on the divine side. Yeah. Okay. So what do you see when you look at him? What do you want us to realize? When you're writing your gospel, John, what is it? Amen. That he is?
The Word.
He's the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So you need to convince us that He is God. Okay, you can sit down. So this is the other dimension here. You got the four. So you have over here, you have Luke. Oh, we had Matthew. Yeah, Matthew. Who is this down here? Mark. Luke. And Luke is what? Man. And who you have over here? John. And you have God. That's why there's four Gospels. That's why there's the four corners of the earth. The four, you have every direction. If you have three Gospels, we're missing something. There's no need for a fifth Gospel because we got it all covered. That's why we have four Gospels and why each of the Gospels emphasizes a different aspect of Christ. So let's get you the verse for the one on God. It's famous verses 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word became flesh. 1:14. So let's practice. And I'm going to get somebody up here to tell us. So the first aspect is King. And our verse is Matthew 2:2. What's that verse say? King of the Jews. Where is he born? King of the Jews. Then we go to Mark. And Mark, what's the verse? 10:45. Son of man. And give his life as a ransom. But you got the most. Okay, good. Now we're going to go to Luke. Luke 23:4. I find no fault in this man. Good. Okay, and then finally, John. 1:14, and who can do that? Okay, so how about who wants to volunteer to come up and give it to us? Practice. Student. You ready, Adam? Do what? I think that's a no. Student, we need a volunteer to help. This is practice. You got back there? Is it Colt back there? Are you ready, Colt? Practice? How about Carl? How about two of you? I'll have tag team. How about you can pick a partner? Oh, you want Colt and Carl to come up? Okay. Just practice. Okay. Come up here and stand up here together. Yeah. You can go back and forth. So tell us about your Christ. It's okay if you don't get it exact. Just give us the essence of it. What's the key word? Where is he? He's born. King. Okay, got it. Good.
And he came to serve his people.
That's right. And who? That's good. And that verse is in Mark. Okay.
Amen. For the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
Serve. Good. Amen. Who can tell me the verse?
Luke 10:45.
Okay, next one. Now we go to man.
You
want to
get Luke? Yeah. There's no fault in this man.
Good. Amen. I find no fault in this man.
Luke 24:3.
Almost. Good practice. It's good practice. Now you get it. Now one more.
Amen. John 1:1.
1:1.
Amen. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God.
Very good. Good job, Colt.
Let's do John 1:14.
1:14. The Word.
Flesh.
Wow, what a statement.
Amen.
The Word, which is God, yeah, became flesh.
Amen.
Became flesh, the Word. Full of grace. All right. Okay, good job. Okay, now I want two sisters who are flesh sisters just to stand up where they are. And fire off here, girls. King. Good job.
Christ is a servant.
Yes.
Mark 10:45.
Yeah.
Even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve.
But to serve. Very good.
Christ is a man.
He's a man.
Mark 23:4. I find no fault in this man.
Amen. Yes.
Christ is God.
Yeah.
And John 1:1.
Good. Great job. Good practice. Anybody else want to hit it real quick? Okay. Well, we might pick it up a little later. If some people get here that aren't here tonight, we'll get a little review. Maybe y'all could give the review. Just give them a little bit of that. Okay, so come up here, Adam, which is Christ. So Matthew sees what? A king. And that's a lion. Mark sees a servant, and that's an ox. Luke sees a man, and that's the face of a man. And then John sees God, and that's flying eagle. Because as God, He is above. He soars. When we touch, you can sit down now. When you touch this life of the Lord, then you can soar above. So we have a verse there. Let's look at a quick verse here. Let's see. We're on point number 5. Let's read. How about the light? I like that one. 1:4. Yeah, John 1:4.
In Him was life, and the life was the light of men.
Yeah, how about that? In Him was light, and the light was was the light of men. So in this one, in Him was life. What life is that talking about? Divine life. So in Him was life, the divine life, and that life was the light of men. So whenever you touch this life of God, Christ is God, whenever you're touching this life, that becomes the light. Isn't that interesting? That life, the life of God, enlightens the whole world. So God's coming brought light into the world, life and light. So as God, He enlightens us, and He brings the sight. That was the heavenly vision Paul saw, was he caught the view of this heavenly light, and that's what changed him. So we need the light shining, as see Him as God. That's what differentiates Him from everybody else, the fact that He's God. Okay? So the next point here is about not another aspect from that angle in the Gospels, but let's read number 6. Go.
Jesus Christ is the Spirit.
Okay. So this is an important point to bring in tonight, because we can read about Him in the Gospels in different aspects, appreciate what He is and what He was back then, but without Him becoming the Spirit, that authority, that serving, that proper man, and God's life could never reach us or be experienced by us or be lived out of us. Without Him becoming the Spirit, then we're just left to admiring a wonderful human being. But because He became the Spirit, then all of those attributes and aspects we talked about are now in us. You see the importance? Without Him becoming the Spirit, all we could do is just admire such a marvelous person. But as a Spirit, Michael, now you can experience that person. You can experience the King. You can experience the authority in you. Have y'all ever gone on the gospel on your campus and you walked up to someone and you share the gospel with them, a complete stranger, and within a few minutes, just your word, they are praying to receive the eternal life? At the end of Matthew, it says, all authority has been given to me. Go and disciple all the nations. So we have the authority. That authority is experienced by us because He's the Spirit within us. So it had been great if He'd done all His work on the earth, but if He hadn't become the Spirit, then there's no reality. There's no experience. There's no living reality of that person on the earth today. And that's what He wants. That's what He wants in your classroom. That's what He wants in your jobs. He wants a testimony of His life, His authority, His serving, His proper humanity, and His divine life to be experienced and lived out. So that's why He is the Spirit. So let's look at a verse or two here. We all know the famous verse. Let's read 2 Corinthians 3:17. Go.
And the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is,
there is freedom. Again, the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Okay, so and A, you have the reality and actuality of Christ. So these are great verses. They're deep. They're mysterious. Remember, John is having the toughest job of convincing us that this person is God. So let's read through these verses. How about alternating? Again, this side will take 16 and that side 17. I may make a comment or two on the way. Okay, go ahead, 16 on this side. Okay, wait a minute. So, give you another comforter. Another. That means the one speaking, or there must be a first comforter, right? If there's going to be another comforter. So there's already a comforter. He's going to give you another comforter, and he'll be with you how long? Forever. So the Lord was getting ready to take off through his death and resurrection, but this one is not going to take off. When you get him, it's good for, he's good forever. Okay, then verse 17 over here. Go.
He is the Spirit of reality, whom the world
cannot receive, because it does not behold him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and shall be in you. Okay, so even the Spirit, so he identifies the Comforter. You can underline that. That's the identification of the Comforter. The Comforter, he says, even the Spirit of reality, real clear, the world can't receive him, it doesn't behold him or know him, but you know him. You know him. You know who I'm talking about. You know him. He's talking about himself. Because he abides with you. Who's abiding with him right there? The Lord Jesus is. He abides with you and shall be, circle this, in you. Okay? Got a big circle. This one, this comfort, he's abiding with you. You know him, and he's going to be in you. He's going to get inside of you. This comforter, who will be with you forever, is going to get inside of you.
Amen.
I'm right now outside of you. I'm a comforter, but this other comforter is going to get inside of you. Forever. And this is the Spirit of reality. This is reality. Everybody wants to know reality. This is the Spirit of reality. This is what is real. This is reality. And he'll be in you forever. Okay? All right, then the next side, next verse. Okay, go.
Over here. I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you.
Okay, so circle I. It says he is coming to you. He'll come to you. I am coming to you. Wait a minute. I thought it was another one that's going to come to you, but I'm coming to you. Okay, now next verse. Okay, good. So he talked to them 17 about another comforter. He, look at the change of pronouns. He, him, and then an 18 circle, I, 19, because I live. Okay, now let's read 20 over here. Okay, circle I again. There again. I am in my Father and you in me, and circle I. Circle I in you. And then compare that with 17. He abides with you and shall be in you. He shall be in you. And then 20 is I in you. So he is the Spirit of reality. In us. And then 2022, he breathed into them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Good. So that was a transmission into him. And then you have an Acts, the outpouring. So there's a transition period here. So I think y'all all know about that. I don't need to get into it. About how he breathed initially and then there had to be a period of time because he was transitioning, and then he was poured out as a Spirit economically. So he is both within and upon. What is your name?
Kyle.
Kyle. Oh, that's an easy one. Kyle. I got a son named Kyle. I can remember that. Kyle. So, Kyle, is the Spirit in you?
Yeah.
Yeah. And who is that Spirit?
Jesus.
Yeah, Jesus. Is the Spirit upon you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's that Spirit?
Jesus.
Jesus. Good. Good job. So now, where's the King?
In me.
Yeah. Where's the servant?
In me.
Where's the real proper man, Kyle?
In me.
And where is God?
In me.
Wow, you're a blessed guy.
Amen.
You got the winner here. In me. All right, so then the other points. There's just so much here to say. I'm not sure if I should keep going or let you say something. We could say a little bit about the bountiful supply. Why don't we read Philippians 1:19? I hope you all know that verse. Go. So there's like an abundant store of wealth. And so the bountiful supply. You underline the word bountiful. How needy are we and how much we need to be supplied? Bountifully. A bountiful supply of the Spirit. You know, they have that medication that they put, and they put all this medication in this pill, and it just, you take it and then eventually it helps the itchy eyes and the runny nose. There's like a supply. It's a time. How's it? Time release or whatever they call it. It's like the Spirit. It's a bountiful, stored in you is this wealth, a supply of God's life in all these aspects. It's just there. He's just, as He's activating and moving, He's releasing. And some of you have experiences of Him as the King. Maybe you have been on the campus and you spoke to someone and they received the Lord's life. Or maybe you have experienced the Lord speaking to you and you felt to help someone, to serve someone, and that was the Lord's life in you. Or maybe the Lord was in you and you saw a situation and the compassion of the Lord rose up in you, like feeling of human being. And so you ministered something to that person to take care of their human need. Or you experienced the Lord as God in you, the life and the light supplying you and lifting you up out of your situation. So we have a lot of experiences of this supply, bountiful supply. And then C talks about imparting life into our entire being. I think we covered that in the last college conference. I remember Ray getting up there and helping us. Remember Ray? And we had the body, the soul, spirit. So I think Romans is adequately covered, those verses. And then now, daily enjoyed by us. So here's a few practical things to activate that Spirit within us. Let's read number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Just the caption there. Go. Rising early. Good. Yeah. So these are just a few ways to activate. So even in the morning, we're going to have some morning time. So you can start the day by activating that bountiful supply of the Spirit in you. We have to activate the Spirit. He's moving, He's ready, He's willing, but needs our cooperation. So here's how we cooperate: by touching Him in the morning, by calling on His name, by reading the Bible, by praying, many other ways too. So you got it? In summary, this person is all-inclusive, all the aspects you need, everything you need, all the capital you need in your human life is embodied in this man. And now this man has become the Spirit, and he's inside of you, Kyle. And now all you need to do is exercise a little bit, and then you enjoy all the riches of that life. You got it, Ray? So here's the man, with everything, King, servant, man, God. He became the life-giving Spirit, and He's inside of you, and all you have to do is open and let this person operate so you can enjoy a supply, a bountiful supply, just for this age? No. Just in the millennial? No. Forever. So, why not? Start now. Carl, you're going to be doing this for many years. It just gets richer, fuller. If you're an overcomer, you get to do it for 1,000 years with the other ones. You may see some of these faces. I hope you see mine. And we'll be enjoying a richer supply. And then after that 1,000-year period, for eternity, with this person, enjoying all the riches of this person, with all the other saints enjoying the riches of this person. So he has an expression, a universal expression. That's what it takes to mine the riches. You know, Colorado is a rich state with resources, right? A lot to dig out. Dig out. Okay, that's Christ. It's going to take eternity for all his people to express all those riches. So it just gets better. So, okay, that leaves us with just a few minutes for whatever you want to do. If you want to share something or practice your verses, it's up to you. I've got about 10 or 9:20, right? 9:22? Is that about right? Okay. So what should we do? It's your time. You can practice. You can say something for the message. You can. Here we go. Here goes Michael. Go, Michael.